In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we commemorate two meetings of the Lord. One meeting happened more than 2,000 years ago. The significance of this event was that the unknowable God, the Ancient of Days, the God who no man has ever seen nor can see, became a child and was held in the arms of Simeon, who represents the Old Testament and all its promises, which had been promised by God that he would see fulfilled before he departed this life. The unknowable God became man so that we could come to know him and become like him in as much as it's possible for a finite creature to do so. But we also celebrate a future meeting of the Lord. It's a meeting that will be joyous for some and a terror to others, and the difference between these two groups will be whether they actually came to know God or not. St. Paul, in his two epistles to the Thessalonians, talks about the end times a lot because the church there was concerned about that issue. And in his first epistle, in chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, he talks about the good meeting with the Lord that we hope to have. He says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," in other words, departed, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if ye believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So it's important that he talks about how Christ at his second coming is descending to earth, but it talks about how we will go to meet him in the air. And for most of church history, up until the 19th century, there wasn't a single Christian that read this and thought, well, obviously this means that Christ is going to come secretly and all Christians are going to be raptured up, and then there's going to be a great tribulation, the Antichrist is going to appear, and then Christ will really come back. They always interpreted this to mean this is the second coming. So why is it that Christ is descending, but we go up to meet him in the air? St. John Chrysostom answers this question. He says, "If he is about to descend, on what account shall we be caught up? For the sake of honor. For when a king drives into a city, those who are in honor go out to meet him. But the condemned await the judge within. And upon the coming of an affectionate father, his children indeed, and those who are worthy to be his children, are taken out in a chariot so that they may see and kiss him. But the housekeepers who have offended him remain within. We are carried upon the chariot of our father, for he received him up in the clouds, and we shall be caught up in the clouds. Do ye see how great is this honor? And as he descends, we go forth to meet him, and what is more blessed than all these, so shall we be with him." And so what he's saying is the king is coming into town, but the nobles are going out to meet him and follow him into town. It's an honor for them to do so. A similar analogy that St. John uses, but one that I can certainly relate to, when you have children and you come home, children are often very excited, and they'll come out and meet you in the driveway because they want to say, "Hi, Daddy." They want to give you a big hug. But you might have had an occasion where your mom was punishing you for something that you did, and she says, "You just wait till your dad gets home." Well, if you had that threat from your mom when your dad came home, you wouldn't have been one of those kids going out to meet him in the driveway, because you weren't looking forward to that meeting. In St. Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, he talks about the negative side of this meeting of the Lord. In other words, how this meeting will be experienced by those that don't know God. He says, "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." So he says, the vengeance is coming on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. So it's those that don't know God and they're not doing what God told them to do. And you might say, how do I know whether I know God or not? And the answer in the scriptures is not, did you say the sinner's prayer? Because if you said the sinner's prayer, you ain't got nothing to worry about. That is not what the Bible says. Here's what St. John the Apostle says in his first epistle, chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. He says, "And hereby we know that we know him." So in other words, here's a criteria. This is how you can know whether you know God or not. "If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." Now, none of us is going to walk as he walked perfectly, but we should at least be striving to do that. We should be making the effort to obey his commandments. But if you're living a life where you're just blowing off the commandments, then you don't know God. And that's what St. John is telling you. And so the question is do you want to be... Do you want to be the kid running out in the yard to greet daddy and giving him a big hug when he comes back? Or do you want to be the kid that's waiting in the house because just wait till dad gets home? In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said, "Now, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? In thy name have done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." We have been given this life for one purpose, and that's to come to know God, who's revealed himself in history. And especially as we're preparing to enter into Lent in one more week, we want to make the effort that we reorient ourselves and make knowing God our number one priority. That should be the most important thing that we're all about. We have all kinds of other things that we have to take care of in this life, but the number one thing, the one thing needful, is for us to come to know God. And if we do know God, that means we're going to be living a life that reflects that. Amen.